Coming up, a sad night in Boston. That's next.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe, Ferrero Rocher, je 200 Gramm Packung, nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc, je 0,75 Liter Flasche, nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn. Und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, where we put up a new prestige TV podcast. We covered Succession, the series finale. Me and Sean Fennessy did it. Stay on that feed for the next couple of days because Van Lathan and Joanna Robinson are going to have a deep dive podcast as well. We also covered it on theringer.com and on The Watch. Coming up on this podcast, taping this right after Game 7. I'm in Boston with my dad. I wish we had a sadder Pearl Jam song to play, but whatever. Here we go. All right, it is 11:12 Eastern time. I'm here with my dad, who's just a shell of himself.
I feel like Jaylen Brown.
Well, you're more like Tatum because you fell 2 days ago and you have a big bruise on the side of your body. You played hurt in Game 7. We went to the game and it did not turn out the way we thought. There was a lot of 2004 Red Sox in the air. And I want to talk about all the Boston stuff in a second, but goddamn, that Miami team was tough. They beat us three times in Boston. And by the way, my dad and I are going to talk like fans. I'm not Bill the media member for this podcast. I'm Bill the guy who's been going to Celtic games since the mid-70s. This is my dad's 50th year with season tickets. This was your 18th Game 7 in Boston, plus one in LA that we might have lost in 2010.
This is my 19th Game 7 in Boston and one in LA.
Right, so that's 20. Anyway, we were feeling good. There were 2004 Red Sox vibes. And Tatum twists his ankle in the first play, and it just felt like the game went to shit almost immediately.
He had a nice move first play of the game when soaring in, got fouled, and came limping out of that mess and was never the same. I mean, he only took 13 shots, I think.
Yeah.
He was a shell of himself. You could see it, especially on defense. He couldn't guard anybody.
In the second half, we could see it during times when the cameras weren't on, like during the commercials and stuff, watching him walk, and he just kept looking. It was weird because before the game, the team had such a vibe to them.
They did.
And he was walking around like chest out.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been happier. So fired up to play. And within a second, he just looked like he was injured.
I mean, I have to say I was looking forward to like a 35-point night from Tatum. He had that vibe, as you said. And it wasn't just that, though. Miami had a great game plan.
Yeah, let's talk about Miami first, then we'll do the Boston stuff. Because Miami, so much credit, so much kudos, so impressed by them to lose three in a row, to lose that Derek White game that I think would have broken just about anybody. You could see in the pregame warmups, they seemed pretty focused.
Right,
they came out at halftime. We watched Jimmy Butler practice the same three-pointer for like five straight minutes. They come out at halftime, they run a play, and he takes the three-pointer in the exact same spot.
Exact same spot, swish. We got it down to seven a couple times, and each time we did that, Miami had a great play set up and somebody got open, and usually it was a 3-point shot.
Yeah, and usually it was by Caleb Martin.
I asked you about Martin because I didn't know very much about him. He killed us. He was tremendous.
He averaged 9 points a game during the season, I think.
I don't get it. He certainly is not going to be averaging 9 points a game next year.
Well, we were texting a lot during the whole series, and your text went from "What's up with this Caleb Martin guy?" to "Oh, I'm starting to hate this Caleb Martin." To that, by the time we got to today, you're like, "What's going on with this Caleb Martin guy again?" He was incredible in this game.
He hit every time we made a run. Again, we got it down to seven, eight, seven. He made the big shot, and you know, he didn't look nervous at all. He was right in rhythm. I have to really give Miami credit again, though. Their offense flowed the entire night.
Yeah.
I mean, they looked for the open man. They didn't take any crazy shots. You know, we play hero three ball the entire game. Miami doesn't do that. They wait for a patient shot, move the ball around. You know, Adebayo, you could probably say, didn't have a very good game if you look at the box score. He was tremendous. Setting those picks, you know, you and I were talking in the walk home. Guys would be floating around him. He'd wait until the right guy got open, make the right pass. Then there'd be a second pass, swish. I just think that team played a smart game. And we looked like chickens with our heads cut off. We were running around. We had no flow. With hero basketball, and we've seen it before. This is, again, kudos to Miami. But, boy, we had a terrible game plan.
Well, you think the two ways the Celtics team stood out was the three-point shooting. They always, if they shot 40%, they won.
Right.
Well, in the two halves in game six and then the first half of game seven, they were 11 for 56 from three, which is, you basically can't do worse. And then the other thing was the defense. And they really figured out something at the top of the key with Bam that they had all series and they just got better and better at it. And these guys just using him on screens, going backwards, popping off.
Right.
And eventually somebody on the Celtics would just kind of lose concentration for a split second. And that would be the play where all of a sudden they're shooting a three.
That's a good way of putting it. The first 5 or 6 minutes, you and I commented to each other that we were really playing tight at the three-point line.
Right. We're trying to take it away.
And they were 0-for-3. I mean, that's a small sample, but they looked a little bit out of sorts in terms of shooting threes. They took a timeout. And then we got tired, I guess, or we got lazy, or we didn't make that extra push to go out and guard the guy. And suddenly those threes were flowing. Also, looking up and seeing 0-for-11 for the Celtics shooting threes, I mean, you're not going to win a game shooting like that, obviously.
No, it turned into a rock fight. And then all of a sudden, Miami shots started going in. And I was taking notes on my phone during like little timeouts and stuff. But it was, at one point, it was 38-25 with 7 minutes left in the second quarter. We were 10 for 31, 2 for 15 from three, and Miami was 6 for 12. Scored two straight field goals. Spo immediately timeout. He just would never let the Celtics get any sort of flow. But the reality is, Butler and Caleb Martin were better than Jalen and Tatum in this game.
Certainly,
and
yeah.
Arguably for the series, probably a slight edge with the way Martin played. Martin was, man, you look at where he ended up. Do you want to hear this or maybe not?
Well, I think he had 26 points unless he scored after
he walked. Played 45 minutes tonight.
Okay.
And was guarding everybody on one end. And then on the offensive end, patience. Like if you just watch this one series, and you were like ranked the wings in this series, like Jaylen Brown obviously would have been fourth because he was terrible. We'll talk about that later. But Martin went from this bench guy to this guy who basically they couldn't take him out of the game. For the series, he was 19 a game. He shot 60%. He shot 49% from three. And over again, you said it when we were walking home. It was like every time they got it to seven, he'd make a shot. Yeah. Every time there's a little bit of run, he'd make a shot.
Do you think we could trade Brown for Martin and we give Martin the $50 million? I mean, he looked deserving of that $50 million.
Yeah, that was pretty tough. We've been to a lot of these over the years. And not just game sevens, but big games that were especially like deflating where walking in,
yeah,
the energy of the crowd was unbelievable.
It was a great
energy. Felt like the roof was going to come off.
Great crowd.
The crowd was basically in their seats 25, 30 minutes before the game. They're running 2004 Red Sox stuff. They're running the White play. People explode. White comes out. He's just, people are just cheering for him when he's on the court. And you just couldn't ask for a better crowd. And then within 6 minutes, the crowd was dead. But it reminded, there was pieces of these different bad Celtic playoff losses. Like when LeBron in 2012 in game six, when he killed us. With that 2009 game seven against Orlando was another one. 2005 against Indiana, that was another game seven where they just sucked right away, couldn't get it going. The 2018 Cavs game, where the Celts were a little closer, but it was very similar where there's just a lid on the basket. They couldn't get over the hump.
Even the man in front of us Mike, he commented this reminds him of that Cleveland game.
The Terry Rozier game.
We couldn't hit a three in that game.
Yeah.
This game was different, though. You know, you come back from 0-3. The crowd was really in it to start this game. And I think there was an optimism that wasn't necessarily in some of the other games you mentioned. And as soon as Tatum got hurt, and you saw him limping off the court, and then Miami went on a little run.
Well, first he got hurt, and then all of a sudden the Celtics were in their late fourth quarter offense of walking it up.
Yeah.
We had no pace. We weren't getting any fast break stuff. And you could feel Butler starting to assert control of the game a little bit early. And all of a sudden they had a lead. I think it was 15-13. But we were watching Tatum going, uh-oh.
Well, when they got the lead up to 7 or 8, they took the crowd out of the game.
Yeah. Tatum came out with 4 minutes left in the first quarter.
I think probably more, 6 minutes.
Yeah, so or yeah. 6 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
He was sitting on the bench by himself, and his body language was awful. As yeah. the unofficial body language doctor, I was watching, and I was like, oh, man, this is not good. Right.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but each time there was a timeout or the players went to the bench and they got up to start play again, somebody had to take his hand to help him get up out yeah. of the seat.
Yeah, and he had the adrenaline going the first half, but in the second half, the Heat realized he couldn't go side to side anymore.
Right.
So they started trying to isolate him a little bit.
You know, all of that's certainly a major factor, but the other major factor is everybody in that building, walking into that building, knew Miami was going to play zone.
Right.
Now, have the Celtics ever practiced against the zone?
I mean, it was so weird. Like, they had Horford on the foul line, but he didn't really want to shoot. And it almost seemed like if you're going to play zone like this, almost play, I guess Tatum was hurt, but even just play Tatum at the center spot just so he could be at the foul line. Put somebody who's a scorer at the foul line. There were some really weird subs. Like, they threw up Brogdon, and Brogdon was, I think, a minus 15 in like 5 minutes. But you could see his first shot almost killed the ball boy.
Yeah, it did.
And so we knew that was a bad sign.
His second shot was a missed layup.
Yeah, and he just didn't look right. He said after the game, I quickly checked Twitter. He said, we just played tight. Mm-hmm. I think that was part of it. But I thought Miami played with incredible purpose. They mm-hmm. knew who they were. They knew who their 6-7 guys were. Even Lowry, who was dog shit the whole series. He had some good moments. And
he did. He had some good playmaking moments, too.
Yeah, and he was, you know, the Celts were just so sloppy. The turnovers. Mm-hmm. Russell and I talked in yesterday's pod about there's turnovers, and then there's those unforced error turnovers like that are like the double faults in tennis.
Yeah.
Or like somebody in a sand trap just hitting it out over the green on the other side.
You mean like every time Jaylen Brown dribbles?
Yeah, it was tough. I got to say, I hadn't been to a playoff game this year. There was a lot of grumbling in the stands with Jaylen and Smart, even when the game was close, yeah. where when those guys are on fast breaks and it doesn't work out, you can eat the crowd is almost like Little League parents, like, come on,
well, what are we doing? There was that guy over our right shoulder screaming, take Brown out, take Brown out.
Yeah.
Now, this is a guy that is potentially going to get $50 million a year from the Celtics, and you have a fan screaming, take Brown out. That kind of told us a lot about, he was awful. He was terrible.
He was awful. And Hench texted me this, that when Kareem got hurt in game 6 of 1980 and Magic stepped up for Kareem, mm-hmm. that was like a 10 out of 10 on the I'm stepping up for my injured teammate scale. And he's like, was Jaylen a one? Was he a 1.5? What happened to him in that game? For the series, Jaylen was 56 for 134 shooting, 42%. He was 7 for 43 from three.
Oh, that's great.
He had 25 turnovers. He took 133 points on 134 shots. Yeah. And a lot of the turnovers were bad. And the thing is, like, and we'll talk about Jaylen after the break, but we like Jaylen. We want... You know, we thought we had something here with the Tatum-Brown combo, but yeah. Now this is 2017, 18, 20, 22, 23, where they've fallen apart in these big games offensively, where it just doesn't seem like anybody can create a basket.
You and I are walking in, we're saying, you know, Saturday they were 7 for 35 on the three. Now, it's everybody knows this team is built around the three-point shot.
Yeah.
For better or for worse. And all the stats are out there, how well we play when we hit 40% of our threes. And there's no way in the world, I thought, we could shoot worse than we did Saturday night we were worse than Saturday night.
9 for 42. So in two games, it was 16 for 77. Let's take a break and we'll keep going. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. We are going to do a big finals boost. I will tweet it out probably on Wednesday. Stay tuned for that. Very excited. I hit three boosts in a row and then barely lost the last one, but we'll see if we can get a little series boost or a game one boost. I don't know what it's going to be yet. FanDuel has great promotions every day on a safe and secure app that pays you instantly when you win. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/BS. Get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is FanDuel.com/BS. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 plus in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, or Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text next step to 53342 in Arizona. 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. 877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 800-327-5050 or visit mahelpline.org/problemgambling. In Massachusetts, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. In Maryland, 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In New York, 800-522-4700, Wyoming, or 1800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam und die Black-Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem, mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal es. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knete ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Barra ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd.
Lebara,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
So we talked about the threes right before we went to the break. I think one criticism I had with this team, and I do think it was coaching staff related. We haven't talked about Joe yet, but no. I think this team and the organization was very analytics based. And I think they really wanted this team to shoot a lot of threes, which is great. But you watch a game like this where the threes can go sideways. This happened to Houston in 2018. This happened to the Celtics in 2018, where there's no plan B. My biggest frustration today, I felt like they had, you know, they belatedly discovered Derek White was able to just get into the paint and beat Gabe Vincent off the dribble and or beat mismatches. And the Heat actually aren't great at guarding point guards. And they didn't really go to that till game 7. Marcus, it felt like every time they posted him up, he either got himself a really nice shot against Vincent or Strews, or he was able to pass out of a double team. They never did that. And it was just again and again, it was them dribbling up 25, 27 feet, them setting one pick and then somebody trying to beat somebody off a dribble or barrel into the paint. This is what we watched last year against the Warriors.
Right.
So why hasn't this team, and you're going, you've had this your 50th year with season tickets, you've been going all year. How did this team not improve from an IQ standpoint on that specific thing?
Well, it's a really good question. And I guess at some point we have to talk about coaching and making adjustments during a game, but I go back to the point I made right before the break. They knew Miami was going to be in a zone.
Yeah.
You set up your offense to beat the zone. You don't continue to take 23-foot, 25-foot, three-point shots. Jaylen Brown, how many times did he come down, dribble a couple dribbles past half court, and throw up a three-point shot? That wasn't going to go in. There's no movement of the ball.
He had 2 free throws and 9 threes.
Yeah.
And eight turnovers.
I mean,
and 5 personal fouls, which he had at least 3 offensive fouls.
I just go back to the the coaching setting up for the game. You know Miami's going to play zone.
You knew they weren't going to play Zeller. You knew they were going to play Highsmith. You knew they were probably going to go smaller. You knew they were going to play Martin and Bam and Butler a ton of minutes.
So, like you said, and it's particularly once Tatum got hurt, put him at the foul line. Have him be the fulcrum for passing the ball in and out, in and out. Don't take threes that are contested with 20 seconds left on the clock, but they never adjusted.
And well, they weren't afraid of a bunch of our shooters. Oh, Miami, over and over again, they could clear out a whole side of the floor because they could put three guys on the other side. You could really see it in person.
Yeah.
And when we had like Grant Williams out there or Horford, they were just leaving those guys alone. They never wanted to give us a side of the court.
Yeah, they said Grant's elbow is hurting. He can't make the three that he used to make. Horford lost his legs. That was kind of obvious. He played too many minutes. Yeah, too many minutes.
Well, and also he was coaching the team. You were telling me this was happening. I didn't really fully realize it. They call timeouts and Horford sits in the coach's chair and coaches for like 2 minutes as Joe's with his four assistant coaches that we found in Store 24 a month ago.
We don't understand what's going on.
I didn't recognize one of the assistant coaches. Did any of those guys play in the NBA? Who are they? Who are those four guys?
I couldn't tell you the name of any of them. But
I mean, honestly, you could have been out there with a clipboard. It would have been like, all right, well, recognize him. But Al Horford's there coaching, and then sometimes Smart will come in and he's coaching. And then Joe comes back with like 20 seconds left in the timeout.
And I'm not
sure. It's like, here's my idea. I thought we could just dribble right into the zone again.
We're gonna break that zone eventually, guys. Yeah, it's bizarre to watch. I watched it all season, particularly in the playoffs, though.
Well, you were the first person who jumped out on Joe. Because in around December, you're like, I don't really get it. He just chews gum and claps. And then at the All-Star break, he stopped chewing gum. And you were like, he stopped chewing gum, but
he's still
the clapping has continued.
Yeah. Again, we lived and we died by the three and never made adjustments to have any other kind of offense. And that's great when you're hitting 40% of your threes. You know, instead of 0 for 11, if we started 5 for 11, it would have been a different game.
Yeah.
But we haven't been shooting that well. So, and again, I don't want to be redundant, but you prepare for the zone. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
Have a different offense. Move the ball around from the post out back to the post. And
Rob Williams only played 14 minutes.
I didn't even know
8.6 rebounds. Grant Williams played more minutes than him. Yeah. Smart only played 35 minutes. He wasn't great, but White was the best player on the team today.
And
White came off, you know, it's been 2 days of Derek White talk and Celtics and Jay, you know, comparing to Joe Henderson and the Bird steals the ball. And everybody likes the guy so much. ESPN had a big feature about him today. Right. And he's a guy, like he's a coveted guy around the league because he's just kind of a makes everybody better, doesn't take a lot of stuff off the table. And when he started kind of bringing them back in the third quarter, it was like, oh my God, if he fucking brings them back, this guy's going to be like a legend in Boston. What happens to that great win now? I mean, they lose the series. Does that win just kind of go sideways?
I think it goes sideways.
It's like, almost like the Henderson home run.
Yeah, goes sideways a little bit.
Although at least the Henderson home run, we made the World Series.
I think he was one of the, I think at one point we had gotten it down to 7 and I think he took a 3-point shot and unfortunately didn't go in.
Yeah, we can never get over. You always call it the hump. That 7 points felt like we just couldn't get it.
Couldn't get over that hump. There were a couple of strange offensive calls against us by the refs.
Yeah, there was a couple weird travels, inopportune times.
Yeah, Tatum got called for travel. I've never even seen him travel. But of course, Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What do we do with this? Because we probably watched the last Grant Williams Celtic game, I'm guessing, because this new salary cap we have, I just don't see how they're going to be able to re-sign him.
Yeah, I heard your podcast this morning. It doesn't sound like they can re-sign him.
Or if they do, they're going to have to take a huge beating with the luxury tax.
Unless they do something different with Jaylen Brown.
Or I guess maybe the other move is you could trade Brogdon or there's the Jaylen Brown trade. And then, you know, the Jaylen Brown thing, the series was so bad for him. It really, like 20 years ago, and it wasn't as bad as this, but when Antoine just got destroyed by Kenyon Martin in that Nets series, and it just, you came out of that series and you're like, is this guy is this guy like, can he be the second best player in a title team? I'm not there. I'm not like at that rock bottom with Jaylen, but this was, you know, he's 26 years old. He's been in the league since 2016 and he's basically the same player, but I don't think he's as good defensively as he used to be. I don't think he prioritizes it the same way either.
He has lapses on defense for sure.
Yeah.
I know it. People, we laugh about it a little bit, but he can't dribble.
The dribbling is really tough.
How can you be a professional second team All-NBA and you can't dribble?
There's three teams in the league that when they just basically dive at the ground when he's dribbling to the basket.
Yeah.
They just lurch down. And Golden State was the one that unlocked it. Miami does it to him. The Knicks were doing it to him a little bit.
You know,
there's only a couple teams that kind of see it, but he really struggles.
Did you say he had 8 turnovers?
Yeah.
It seemed to me they were all unforced.
Yeah.
Like
he had at least 3 offensive fouls. He took a couple bad threes. I really like Jaylen Brown. I think he had a weird season dating back to the KD trade rumors, which weren't his fault.
Yeah.
And a couple weird interviews. There's been a lot of buzz around the league about, he's not staying, like stuff like that, that you hear it enough. And I start wondering like, all right, there's got to be some smoke here if this many people
maybe,
are talking
maybe
about
maybe it's
it.
Going to come out. I mean, we know that he injured his finger with some mysterious issue at home.
He cut his hand on a vase.
Yes. But then in one of the games, he hurt his hand as well. And maybe that it was his dribbling hand, his right hand.
This is a good theory, except for the part he couldn't dribble last year either.
Well, that is true.
But there was real... The crowd was pretty ornery after like 6th, 7th, 8th turnovers because it was just like watching somebody do the same dumb thing right. over and over again.
But,
and I don't think he's a dumb player.
The crowd gets, it's not only the turnovers, it's the lack of team play.
Yeah.
Because he's standing out there trying to make a move all by himself. The 4 other Celtics are standing around. He makes his move, either dribbles off his foot, dribbles, or somebody steals the ball.
But ultimately, you're like pro Jaylen.
I have been pro Jaylen.
It's just when we're talking about now he's going to be a $45 million a year guy, that's when you take a gulp because I think
right.
that's a tough one.
It changes the equation a little bit in terms of how you look at a player. I don't look at him as a $45 to $50 million a year player, but...
And I don't think either of us think of him as a second team All-NBA guy.
No.
I mean, there was a bunch of injuries at the 4 position.
Right, right.
But I think he's a great guy to have on your team. And I love the connection he has with Tatum. I just, deep down, feel like this. There's a chance that was his last Celtic game.
You know,
because the Belichick move, we know what Belichick would do.
Yeah. I know we need to prevent ourselves from overreacting to the one game. You know, he's been a great Celtic.
It was not the one game. I would say it was the one series.
The series, I guess, yeah.
And we don't know how hurt he was. But no, I'm just looking forward. Like,
yeah,
if you're paying him and Tatum, they can stagger it by a year, I guess, if they give him the extension this year and Tatum next year. But
right. Just
where are you going if those are your two guys? And Russell and I covered in the podcast we did Sunday how the NBA is moving toward this Hollywood system, basically, of you get your two stars in your poster. And then it's role players from that point on. And if you're going to pay that much money for somebody, you got to make sure they work. The bigger issue for me is the Tatum, Smart, and Brown together as a threesome over and over again. 2018, that Tatum's a rookie that year and Jaylen's like, you know, had barely getting his feet wet in the playoffs. 2020, last year and this year. All the series kind of ended for the same reasons because offensively, teams just solved us.
Right.
They really unlocked it. And it was just a lot of guys dribbling and people throwing around and people jacking up threes. And there wasn't an offense. Like I went to those Denver games against the Lakers and like anytime there was tension, anytime that the game was going a little sideways, the other team was making a run. Denver could just go back, called Jokic their little binky. They would just go grab their binky and it was Jokic and he'd create a shot for somebody.
Yeah.
That's what the Celtics, unless Tatum was feeling it, they just didn't have that guy. And now this is 3 out of 4 years where they came really close to either being the finals or winning a title. And there was that one last piece they didn't have. Well, Miami had it today.
We saw it all playoffs, though, and even at the end of the year, the way Mazzulla coached, he'd take Tatum out first, and then Brown would be in charge of keeping the offense together. Inevitably, if we had a lead, we'd lose the lead.
Yeah.
If we didn't have the lead, we'd be down by more when he put Tatum back in there. So I never felt that Jaylen Brown could carry the team if Tatum wasn't out there, which troubles me in terms of, is that the guy you're going to spend $50 million on? I don't know. It's a really tough situation they're put in. I have to go back to coaching, though. This coaching staff built this team around making the three-point shot.
Yeah.
They didn't have an offense that moved the ball inside for post plays, inside, outside. It was really move the ball around the perimeter and take a shot.
Yeah, and they didn't use Tatum and Smart, like their ability to play with their back to the basket, really at all.
Never. And you and I have talked about, I think Tatum is a great post player.
He's at least, I always judge it by how the other team reacts. And when they post him up, the other team reacts.
Yeah.
They'll send a second guy, like they don't like it.
Did you see him posted up once tonight?
No. I did not. It was tough. It wasn't a great Joe game. I think Joe probably saved his job by coming back from the 3-0 would be my guess. I think if they got swept, especially after they rolled over in game three, I think that was a wrap. Now you could talk yourself into,
I'm not sure if I agree with you.
All the coaches are getting hired right now.
Yeah, I know. I think I would have liked to have seen Nick Nurse maybe be considered, but he's gone now.
He's going to Philly. He was pretending he was choosing between Philly and Phoenix, which was the erroneous reporting. Phoenix already has their coach. They're going with Kevin Young.
I'm not sure what the Celtics do now. You have a coach.
Talking about what are they doing with the coach or the team?
Well, both. I think, you know, you have a couple of decisions. You have more than a couple of decisions. You have Grant Williams' decision. You have the Jaylen Brown huge money decision. You have the Joe Mazzulla coaching decision. You're right, though. I couldn't tell you the name of any of the other coaches out there. They never brought in.
Did they have a contest where they added the two assistant coaches? Like if you made a half court shot, you got to be the fourth assistant coach?
You know, I don't think Brad Stevens is blameless in this. I mean,
oh, definitely not.
He had opportunities to bring in a veteran coach to help Mazzulla or two veteran coaches to help
Mazzulla. Or how about he helps Mazzulla? He's the coach.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and then we'll talk about what do the Celtics do going forward and then what we think will happen with Nuggets Eat.
Ah, da ist meine Prime-Bestellung.
Was? Jetzt schon?
Nur eine Sache begeistert so wie die schnelle Lieferung mit Prime. Und zwar das tolle Unterhaltungsangebot von Prime.
Was schauen wir uns an?
Fallout ist zurück mit Staffel 2. Unsere Lieblingshelden kämpfen sich durch die brutale und bizarre Einöde, um dahin zu gelangen, wo alles begann. New Vegas.
Schnelle, kostenlose Lieferung, geniale Unterhaltung und mehr gibt's bei Prime. Für nur 8,99 € pro Monat. Werde jetzt Prime-Mitglied. Die Inhalte können Werbung enthalten. Fortlaufende Mitgliedschaft. Mehr auf amazon.de/Prime.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
All right, so let's do a rapid fire. Is Jaylen Brown on the team next season?
For $50 million a year, I don't think so.
And I don't think he's taking a discount.
Well,
and here's the other thing. This is what happens with the NBA. If it's even in the water that Boston's like, whoa, that's a lot of money, then you have Houston, you have, I don't know, anybody with cap space, or you have a team like Atlanta that could trade some pieces back to the Celtics. And they're floating through intermediaries like, hey, man, we'd pay the $50 million. We think Jaylen's amazing. He's mm-hmm. a number one guy. Put him on our team. He'd be great. Or put him with Trae Young. Or put him, you know, we'll make him the focal point, him and Harden in Houston or whatever it is. So this is like having a relationship with somebody that's not going that great. And then they go out to the bar with their friends and they're just getting hit on at the bar. And they're like, yeah, maybe I won't stay with Bob anymore. All these guys think I'm great. And then at my last game, I had 8 turnovers and people were kind of booing me in the crowd. Maybe I'll leave.
Well, he might be feeling that way right now because I think he's a very bright young man. He certainly could hear the crowd.
Well, especially because the crowd was barely audible except for, you know, one of the reasons I had a bad feeling about the game, we sat down, usually this section's all Celtic fans. Yeah. In the row behind us were these two obnoxious Heat fans who probably became Heat fans when LeBron joined the team in 2010. They didn't even know who Sam Hauser's name was. So I was like, oh, you guys are serious fans. Huh? Hauser's played in multiple games this game. But these guys, anytime that happens, I always think it's a bad sign.
It was really annoying. And obviously in the second half, they got louder and louder.
Yeah, they got louder.
And Jimmy Butler was their guy. And
I was kind of waiting for Fitzmurph or Sully to just come over and punch one of them in the face.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Jalen thing.
I mean, what do you think they do? I don't think he'll take a discount, like you said. Do you give him?
I said this a week ago, and I still feel like it's a trade that makes a ton of sense if Scoot's going to be there at 3 and Portland's picking 3 and they're going to keep Dame and they want to be good right away. I think there's a trade there somewhere that could make a ton of sense. You know, and Charlotte's the other one. Charlotte has 2, and maybe they want to put a veteran with LaMelo, right? They have money too.
Well, the other problem that now is going to surface, because we're talking about it, and I'm sure we're going to be reading about it in the paper, and certainly will be online. Jalen now is going to start hearing rumors.
Yeah, and we already know that affects him. But listen, this shit comes with the territory, and unfortunately, this is the transactional nature of basketball now, where these guys move every year, and every time. There can only be one winner. There can only be 2 finals teams. Every time a season doesn't turn out the way you think, everybody starts looking around and wondering, oh, you know, Golden State's really the only one that's kept it together. I've always been in the never split up the Jays camp. When he made the second team All-NBA, that was the first time I was like, this might not be realistic. Because if these are your 2 best guys making $100 million a year as wings, you can't then get outplayed by Butler and Caleb Barton in a series.
Right.
And these guys, Jalen Tatum, I still feel like has another level to go to, but I think Jalen is pretty much what he is at this point. He's a top 25 player. He's a 25 point a game scorer. I don't think he's as good defensively as he used to be. And we've seen multiple playoff teams really take him out of his game in a playoff series.
Yeah, they do take him out of his game. His regression in defense is puzzling because he was a really good defensive player. He has lapses.
We're a team that it feels like we would have just a lot of answers for Jimmy Butler and Caleb Martin. We have so much size and wings and really good defensive players. Smart's the other one that, you know, I just doesn't seem quite the same defensively. He had some nice moments in this Miami series, but I wouldn't say he was just taking people out.
No, I wouldn't. I don't think he was the player this year that he was last year.
No, and he might be hurt. That might be another one where it's like, this is almost like a hockey team where the hockey season ends and then you find out, oh, our goalie had a fractured pelvis.
I mean, we saw Tatum get hurt tonight in the beginning. We saw it look like White pulled a hamstring in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the game was over.
He went to the locker room.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who would have had to play on Thursday night against Denver.
So if I gave you over, under 1.5, Grant comes back, Jalen comes back, and Mazzulla comes back.
I don't think any of those 3 possibly come back.
You think Mazzulla might go?
Yeah.
At a lot of games.
I went to a lot of games, and the owner sat in that first row, 3 rows in front of us, watching the coaching and watching these games, watching how unprepared we were for the zone.
Yeah. Well, how unprepared we were at every series.
Yeah.
Like, Atlanta kind of figured out something against the Celts the last couple of games. And honestly, if Trey doesn't go cold in the second half of game 6, that probably goes 7, which would have been crazy. And then Philly. Also, the home losses.
I was just going to say that.
This team's 2 games under 500 at home in the playoffs in the last 2 years.
I mean, think about Miami beat us 3 games at home.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
6 playoff losses.
So you play all season to get a higher seed because home court matters. And we had a pretty good home record during the season.
Yeah.
But not in the games that mattered, obviously, in the playoffs. It's hard to figure. I mean, that we have a good crowd. That crowd was behind the team.
Also hard to figure. Miami was an 8 seed.
Yeah.
Miami was 17-24 on the road. Miami didn't have Tyler Herro, who was either their second or third best player. I mean, I think the basketball insiders would say he's third, but I think from a scoring standpoint, it was their second best option.
Terrific coach.
Terrific coach and some Ewing theory stuff with Tyler Herro, it felt like.
Yeah.
Where because he didn't play, now you got to play Gabe Vincent more. Now you got to play Duncan Robinson, who really hurt us.
And you said Caleb Martin.
And Caleb Barton.
Averaged 9 points a game. Boy, that guy looked like an all-pro the whole series.
I didn't want to see the Heat the whole year. People who listen to this podcast, I was like the boy who cried wolf. Then I had Mike Scher come on, and he was even more crazy than I was. They were playing the... So they played the two playing games, right? They play the Hawks. They lose to the Hawks by 11. Gabe Vincent's 2-for-6 in the game. Caleb Martin played 29 minutes. He was 0-for-3.
Well,
Duncan Robinson got a DNP. And Strus was 1-for-5. So that was their first playing game. Then they play the Bulls. And in that game, they were losing in the fourth quarter and came roaring back and won. Adebayo was 1-for-9. Gabe Vincent was 0-for-2. And Caleb Martin was 2-for-4.
Yeah, in
the playing game. And the Bulls could have knocked them out for us, and then we never would have had to worry about them again. But as the series went along, he played in the Milwaukee series, he played 26.8 minutes. He played 28.3 in the Knicks series, and then he played 35.7 against us.
Yeah,
cresting with 45 and 41 the last two games. And honestly, I thought he should have been MVP.
Yeah.
As good as Butler is, I thought Martin was their best player, their best two-way player, too.
When we walked home, you asked me who I thought they were going to pick for the Larry Bird MVP. I thought it would be Martin, but they picked Butler.
They picked Butler, but it was 5-4, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I thought it should have been Martin.
On the other hand, Jimmy Butler is terrifying.
Definitely a presence with him, especially when Tatum got hurt and Jaylen wasn't playing well. And you could see Butler, even though it wasn't like he was going nuts, but he's carrying himself a certain way
right. And
attacking. And he's just felt very alpha-y. And then Bam was the other one that just seems like every time you felt like you're making a run, he would get some crazy offensive rebound or some sort of play.
Jimmy Butler, he's one of those guys watching him. It seems like he can score anytime he really feels like scoring.
Right.
That he can get to the basket, he can overpower the defender. I mean...
And he's the terrible three-point shooter who then somehow makes three-pointers when he actually needs to make
them.
He
made a really big one tonight when we were making a run. But
made a couple of big ones.
You know, you and I, when we went to the game, we were talking about the terrible feelings you have when you have to walk out of the Garden after a really bad loss. It was a terrible feeling walking out of that Garden.
But you think like the KG era ends basically in 2012 and then in 2013 officially they make the Nets trade. And then really going through 2016, they make the playoffs. But then 2017 through, this is a 7-year run where they had 5 of the 7 years, you know, they were playing until the end of May at least. Them compared to Miami, they made 1 finals, 2 Eastern Conference finals. Miami was 2 finals, 1 Eastern Conference final. And they've been in the mix. But if you're Miami, it just feels a little more impressive because I don't feel like they had as much talent. And especially how they were finding these pieces. You know, and that was another thing with the Celtics is the White trade was great. Brogdon trade, I think, was good for the regular season. But they never were able to find that. You know, the Gallinari injury, we were saying today during the game, this would have been like a perfect Gallinari game with Tatum hurt. They always felt like they were a guy short. Now, Miami felt like they were 2 guys short,
right. But
it didn't matter.
Miami, on the other hand, has had a consistent front office and coaching staff.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference. I mean, we've had 3 coaches in 2 years, right?
Right. And so do you blame Ime for this?
I don't.
It's hard not to, right?
I mean,
at least for a piece of this, like they had such a good thing with him last year, and he just had an egregious error of judgment. Even though some of the facts haven't come out, like we know it was.
I don't know. Not great.
I don't know
enough about the situation, except that what I liked about him as a coach was his stress on defense.
And the accountability. And if somebody sucked, he would just yank them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So your predictions are, you think that was the last Jaylen Brown game?
Unless he's willing to take less than the $50 million.
What would Belichick do?
He'd sell right now and get as many good pieces back as he can.
Try to get some pieces to keep building around Tatum going forward.
Yep.
So the reason not to do that is you feel like you got maybe one more year with Horford as a rotation guy. You're losing Grant Williams. Tatum's going to be 26 next year. You have a specific championship window. And you
try to look at big picture that obviously Brogdon's going to probably have some surgery on his wrist.
Yeah,
I thought Brogdon was terrific all year.
That hurt them that he wasn't.
I mean, he's hurt. He's sixth man of the year. That you don't become sixth man of the year because you played poorly.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, and we should have brought that up sooner than the 40-minute mark. One of the things that was great about them was if Tatum and Brown didn't have it, or they, it was a game like today where nobody was making threes, they would put Brogdon and White together and they would really push it.
And they were great.
And they would get fast break stuff and they would swing games.
Yeah.
And losing Brogdon definitely helped. But, you know, Miami didn't have heroes, so.
Yeah. But, you know, you look at next year, trying to look big picture again. Tatum's healthy. Brown's healthy. Brogdon's healthy again. Gallinari's there.
Gallinari's back. Got way for another year. The fear with Jaylen is you give him the contract and then 2 months in, he's like, you know what? I actually don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Because we've seen that happen before. I think...
What do you think's going to happen? I mean...
I think the biggest mistake this team made was the KD stuff. I think
putting it out there or not denying it?
I just think you come out
right
and you
away.
Say...
Yeah.
We're not splitting up this team. We want to build around these two guys. If you read any trade rumor about Tatum or Brown, don't believe it. These are our guys. Mm. And they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, which makes me think they probably talked to the Nets a little bit about Durant, Jaylen Brown, and the Nets leaked it immediately.
Well, maybe that was a mistake. On the other hand, that didn't affect how poorly Jaylen Brown played tonight.
Right. Or the other way, maybe they should have made the trade.
Yeah. I guess, look at it that
I mean,
way.
I'm glad they did it. I wanted those guys to grow old together. And this week is the first week I feel like, wow, this probably isn't...
Well,
these guys aren't going to be teammates for their whole career.
You asked me what I thought was going to happen because of the $50 million. I'd prefer to see him stay. I'd prefer to see everybody healthy next year. You throw Brogdon and Gallinari out there with this team. I think you can afford to play without Grant Williams. I just don't know if you can pay two players that much money in this era.
Unless it's Durant Booker.
Yeah. And you said in the beginning of the podcast, Butler and Caleb Martin were better than Tatum and Brown.
Yeah. I mean, for the whole series.
The whole series. Yep.
Well, now I'm depressed. Well, here's why you wouldn't split them up. The Bucks, I don't know what happens with Chris Middleton this summer, but they're not going to be able to keep Brooke Lopez. They're going to be worse this year. The Sixers, Harden might be leaving. The Cavaliers, you know, they were a freaking mess in the playoffs. They might be 2 years away. The Knicks, they're still a star away. Brooklyn, who the hell knows? Atlanta, I don't trust them at all. Chicago, Toronto, Miami, Indiana. Watch, going down the line, it's like West is way better than the East now.
Let me ask you, though. Bring all those guys back. Do you want to see the same offense with the same head coach?
No.
I don't. I don't want to watch that again. I don't want an offense that's totally dependent on making 3-point shots. That was never the Celtic way. And it's boring to watch. It's as a fan, I hate that offense.
I didn't feel the same attachment to this team from I think this team can win the title. I really believe in this team standpoint. Because of the threes and how haphazard the offense was. And anytime anybody was asking me what I thought would happen with these guys, I'm like, I don't know, man. If we make threes when we play defense, we usually win. And I never know when it's going to happen.
But we don't say that about any other team.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Every other team has an offense that can make adjustments. It's not dependent on one type of basketball. Make the long 3-point shot.
So, where did this rank for most disappointing losses for you? Not in the top tier, because I think both of us had some questions. I'm already in the record. I think Denver's going to wax either of these teams. I think they're going to beat Miami.
Yeah, I probably would agree with you, but I still would have liked to have been in the finals again.
Yeah.
It's always fun. The finals are a whole different beast. I really thought we were going to win tonight. And I thought we had the momentum.
I certainly had the vibe in the crowd. Yeah. It was a very, very confident, happy crowd.
I mean, you made a comment walking home. It really is hard to beat a team four times in a row.
Yeah, any team.
Yeah, but it just seemed like we were going to do it tonight.
Does Caleb Martin, I remember like the second year you had season tickets when we lost to the 75 Bullets, which is like the first playoff series I kind of vaguely remember. And they had this guy, Nick Witherspoon, that just lit us up. Remember?
Yeah, you do have guys that have great series and disappear.
He killed us. Yeah. Andrew Toney was really good, so it wasn't shocking when he killed us. But he killed us to the point that they had to go and trade for Dennis Johnson to try to like solve the issue. We had that Indiana series when Chuck Person, that was like his one great moment when they almost beat us.
Right.
There was in 2002 that Kerry Kittles and all those guys, like just we couldn't keep those guys off. Ron Artest in 2010 hit that three. So there's guys over the years. Caleb Martin is going to end up on that, whatever list that is of, I can't believe that fucking guy. I don't know. Is this the start of like an incredible career for him or was this the highlight?
I don't know. We haven't brought it up, but Miami is a crazy team. What do they have? 7 undrafted players out
there?
Yeah,
they have a chip on their shoulder.
How do they keep finding these people?
Yeah.
I mean, we had Strus in camp and we let him go.
Yeah.
But
all right, so we both think Denver beats Miami.
I would think so. I mean,
do you think Heat culture has replaced Celtics culture?
I'm not sure.
We've won one title since 1986.
What is Celtic culture right now?
I don't know.
It's a 3-point offense. You just brought something up. We haven't won a title in 15 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
The only thing I was against tonight was the game was going sideways. And in the second quarter, they had the Millar video they made, but we were down like 11.
Mm.
And it was like, why not us? And it was like, and the vibe had already shifted. And it was like, we got to let the 2004 Red Sox thing go. Like, Tatum's hurt. Miami seems super confident. Like, we're good with the 04 comparisons.
Yeah. I know we're both going to be shaking our heads about the Tatum injury.
Well, do you feel like the right team won? Because I kind of feel like Miami was the right team. And, we got really lucky in game 6 with one of the craziest endings to a playoff game.
I think when you lose 3 of your 4 home games to the opposing team.
It probably wasn't your year.
It probably wasn't your year to win. Yeah. I don't understand it, but.
You were so excited for the spring with the Bruins. The Bruins were the one seed. Now you have the Panthers in Miami in the in the finals. Well, two teams that you hate.
You know, we did a podcast before the playoffs started, and you asked me if there was going to be a duck boat parade, which team was I more confident about?
You said the Bruins.
I said the Bruins.
Yeah.
Because the Celtic team has been so inconsistent shooting the threes, but obviously I was wrong on both teams.
Well, now I guess we have Marcelo Mayer got promoted to Double A. We have a whole month of trade rumors with different people at the Celtics. Maybe they'll hire an assistant coach we've heard of.
I'm going to switch to the Patriots, I think. I can't watch
Pats?
I can't watch this Red Sox team.
Maybe some Double A baseball.
Yeah.
All right, Dad. Well, I should have told this story at the top, but I had my finger over the purchase the ticket button during the last 4 minutes of game 6. And then when White scored, I pressed the button and I was like, I got to come. I can't miss this. I also kind of had to see Second Row Joe in person for myself instead of hearing your stories. But I want to see the vibe. I don't regret coming back, but it's going to be a sad flight tomorrow. I'll tell you that much.
I'm glad you came back. I'm sorry that you have you got in at 4:30 today.
Yeah.
You're flying out
back
in the morning.
Tomorrow morning. This is great.
It's a lot of flying to see a terrible game that we just saw. But
at least somebody showed up tonight that cared about this.
Yeah, you showed up.
Yeah, I showed up. Yeah. I wish it was me and Derek White.
I was glad to be sitting next to you again.
It was fun. 50 years in the books.
Yeah, 50 years.
All right. This podcast was produced by Kyle Creighton and Steve Cerruti. I'm going to be back either Wednesday or Thursday. Not sure which day for the third podcast of the week. Dad, thanks.
Thank you.